this could be Ryan Tannehill's breakout season.
That's from like 2013.
That's from like 8 years ago.
So that's a really old one.
He's going to have to get on the field first. He's a backup.
No days off. No days off. No days off. No days off.
This is the Off Day Podcast.
Give me a chest ball. Boom!
With Andy Hart.
No, that's a really interesting point.
Andy. This microphone week put up a little less fight than the one last night.
No, I think I said that, Andy.
And Ryan Hannibal.
What's your name again?
Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Mr. Dot Comer
on WEEI.com.
We are live at the Lord Hobo Brewing Company in Woburn for the Off Day Podcast. Thank you to the Lord Hobo people for hosting us tonight.
Thank you for the free bird.
Yes, we enjoyed some free birds beforehand.
We weren't quite ready for the boom sauce.
No, we wanted to wait for Rob Bradford to get here first, though. We wanted to have him be involved in that, I think. But real nice spot here.
We have a pretty good crowd, too.
Really good crowd for Tuesday night.
Kind of surprised, to be honest with you.
Well, they knew we were coming, so.
So this is the first official off-day podcast on a Tuesday, which appropriately
is an off-day.
Players off-day, traditionally.
Yes. Yep.
So, and plenty of people get out of work early because when we arrived, there was a nice little crowd here already.
Yes, nice little spot here. Can't thank them enough.
And it's one of the final few off-days before training camp.
Yes. So, what better segue to get into training camp?
Might as well.
Well,
since
actually, Let's introduce our podcast. This is our first podcast.
Okay, so introduce it. You're the host.
I'm Ryan Hannibal.
I'm the talent.
Andy Hart.
Yes.
What's your official title at the station?
I believe I'm brand personality.
Brand personality, Dale and Keith, a little writing for the website.
Damn right.
You know him from Patriots.com?
Patriots Unfiltered, formerly. This is a good podcast. You can make the transition over here.
Yep.
Please subscribe, by the way.
Yes, right? iTunes. Yep. And then last but not least, John Anderson. Fine producer.
Yes, thank you, Ryan. My official title is part-time producer at the station.
Shouldn't be part-time. It should be full-time.
We'll see how that goes.
As those commercials say, he's one of the producers at the station.
Does a fine job.
Wait, is my name actually in a commercial?
You hear him on the morning show, the midday show, all the shows.
Sometimes. Open my mouth and the host gets mad at me. Yes.
Jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades. John
we know
all
how
trades.
The rest of that goes.
Happy to have him. For the whole year, we think.
We hope.
Yes, no, I am committed to this fully, and I am excited to be with two men my age as we move through our early 20s together.
So you know the old story about football and commitment.
Yes.
The chicken and the pig.
No, breakfast, I don't know that one.
How they contribute to a good breakfast. The chicken is committed. No. How does it go? The chicken is dedicated. The pig is committed. Pig gives his life for that breakfast. Chicken just gives an egg.
So is this podcast breakfast?
So you're a pig, right?
I wouldn't say I'm a pig.
You're going to be here all year or not?
Yes.
Okay.
That's all we needed to know.
That's all
if
we
this
needed.
Podcast is, the metaphor is that this podcast is breakfast, then count me in.
Okay.
Like
you're
Antonio
in.
Brown with breakfast.
Bacon and eggs breakfast. You're committed.
All right. Now we got all the introductions out of the way.
And by the way, we should have a little teaser for keep this playing because Super Bowl legend.
Is that what we're calling him? Minnesota
strong.
Vikings star?
Local legend?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Vikings
local
radio
legend.
Hero.
Viking star, Patriots star, Snowball star.
I like that, yep.
Jermaine Wiggins is supposed to be stopping by.
Supposed to be stopping by.
We're not totally confident that you will hear his voice, but we're hopeful.
Not until he walks in the door am I confident.
And if we don't hear his voice, we will then spend a portion of the podcast shredding him.
I'm down with that as well.
But
we should do that anyway, in my opinion.
Yeah, we will. Yeah,
as the producer,
We will ask him if he remembers when he was an important NFL player, and now he's just slumming with us on a podcast.
He once jumped a Packers player. It was like the most unathletic jump ever. He moved like 2 inches off the ground.
Did he get over him?
He did do it. Yeah, no, he did.
Functional.
The guy was on the ground. But
it's like Tom Brady. You don't need to be flashy. Be functional.
System tight end, Jermaine Wiggins.
Got the job done. Okay, so lead us, host, into the Patriots training camp preview we're here to do.
Well, as you well know, Patriots training camp starting on Thursday. One of their stars will not be on the field Thursday. Julian Edelman, missing 3 weeks with a reported thumb injury. Thoughts?
Well, that's not ideal. Although, I can spin
it's kind of been spun in the
positive
direction. Yeah.
Right. It's like when guys are suspended to start the year and they spin it as you get an extra roster spot.
Right.
You also don't get the player who's suspended. So
correct.
You're not going to get an extra anything. This one, I think, is actually easier to spin as a positive. Given the uncertainty at the receiver position, it does open up extra reps, opportunities. A guy like Braxton Berrios, who I think some fans are already in love with. Some people think he's next in line for that whole Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, I guess we'll go with it, White slot receiver position. And others are dubious that, you know, he's a little more swagger than he is substance at this point, because anyone that follows him on social media, he certainly does not lack for confidence, but he'll get extra reps with Tom Brady. And we saw in the spring, he was getting reps with Julian Edelman, with N'Keal Harry and some of that group. It has the chance for somebody to step up. Maurice Harris, Philip Dorsett, your guy.
My guy?
I thought you were a big fan of his.
No, I'm not, actually.
I'm not really either. Dontrell Inman. I mean, any of these unknown guys, they've even been working guys out as recently as this week. My guess is they may sign a guy because you don't have Demaryius Thomas and you don't have Julian Edelman. You're starting to already be down in numbers and you haven't taken a single rep yet.
Right.
And generally, you know, in camp, you got to have three receivers ready for three groups deep and then some. So it wouldn't surprise me. Justin Hunter was one of the guys.
Yep.
Some little Pappy White guy.
I've actually got the list here.
So Nick Williams.
I'll read you these names. Do any of these names make it move? All right.
No.
You guys tell me.
No.
So I don't even need to read them.
No, read them. No. Okay. Yeah. Be good.
So Justin Hunter.
No.
No.
Nick Williams.
Nope.
No.
Pappy White.
Cool name, but no.
I like the name.
Travin Durrell.
Never heard of him.
Nope.
I've heard of one of those guys. It's Justin Hunter.
Alan Hearns we could add to the list.
Alan Hearns.
He's released from
out
the Cowboys.
Now.
A little bit more of a name, a former 1,000-yard receiver. Probably looking for a little money.
Probably.
More so than being a camp body or a last guy in.
Right. But everybody's spinning this as a positive. Well, what about when you can't get anything done on the practice field when you don't really have anyone there for Tom Brady to sort of go through everything with?
I'll spin that as a positive. It actually forces him to go to somebody else. Because you and I both know that even in camp practices, when they struggle a little bit and a couple balls hit the ground, he gets upset, and generally the next throw goes to Julian Edelman, right?
Correct. Correct.
He can't fall back on his little binky anymore.
Nope.
He's going to have to actually read the defense time after time and go to whoever is open. Remember, his favorite receiver was always the guy who was open.
I heard that a little bit ago.
No. Now his favorite receiver is Julian Edelman.
Right.
So this makes him maybe go to Inman or one of those guys has a drop. Maybe N'Keal Harry runs a slant. It bounces off his back shoulder, incomplete. And normally he'd say, well, I'm not going back to you. I'll go to Edelman on the next one. Now maybe he goes back to N'Keal Harry. Maybe in a month or 2 months, that pays dividends.
So you don't think it's that big of
some deep football talk right out the gates here.
I like it, though.
I'm kind of impressed.
This is a football podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to have a sip of my beer while you carry this conversation.
But you don't really think that, let's just say that they're running, you know, 7-on-7 drills and there's 5 straight incompletions, that's okay?
I don't think they're keeping score, are they? Other than a few of the beat writers who are going to keep track of the stats.
Right.
Not us, thankfully.
No,
we don't fall victim to that stupid game.
But you don't think not having Edelman out there sets a precedent for the other receivers?
Was he out there last September?
No, but he's out there during
the
spring.
Did they win the Super Bowl?
We're not getting into that. We're talking about training camp.
What's the idea here?
That they don't have any
proven...
To win
the Super Bowl?
They don't have any proven receivers.
Exactly.
So instead of when
Edelman's
falling out
back
there,
on Edelman, he's going to have to spread the ball around and develop other options.
But what if those guys can't develop?
And those guys, in turn, will get reps against a very good pass defense, secondary.
That's good.
It's a win-win for everybody.
But what if your quarterback is like, why am I doing this? What are we doing here?
We're trying to improve.
He's 42 years old.
What do you think? He's going to sulk and quit?
Yeah. He's not going to quit, but I think he's going to give Josh a few shoulder shrugs and arms.
And that already began. We saw that in minicamp where
N'Keal Harry,
Josh kind of made some hand gestures, then Brady threw his hands up and they kind of gestured back and forth. But I think Josh knows, and Brady's been through this before. If you remember the, what was that, 13 Kembrell Tompkins year?
Yep.
Where Brady had to have a longer rope because he had to get those guys acclimated to the offense. He knew he needed them. Well, this is going to be the case this summer. You're going to need to throw to these guys, right? That's just the harsh reality.
Well, let's get into a little more football stuff.
So it's a positive. Don't be so negative.
Well, the quarterback's going into a walk year right now. Doesn't have a contract.
Lame duck quarterback.
Doesn't have a contract. So he's going to be okay going into training camp saying, you know, you're not going to take care of me. And you also have, I'm throwing to Dontrell Inman and Maurice Harris and Braxton Berrios. You don't think that's going to come in the back of his mind where he's going to be a little impatient?
It could come into the back of his mind. I think that's fair.
Yes.
He's only a human being. I know he pretends to only be positive and he's a robot and the whole TB12.
But you see it like I do all the time. He does shrug his shoulders.
Correct, and he will at times. It's natural.
Right.
That's okay. But I think just rep-wise, it will benefit or prove otherwise. Those reps could also prove to him, well, I've gone to that guy five times in a row. The guy stinks.
Right.
He's not going to be an option. But I think he will learn quicker what he has to work with on the practice field with 2 or 3 weeks without Edelman. And let's be honest. I think a lot of us are sort of playing with the assumption that Gronk and or Gordon could be factors for the Patriots.
I'm
in
not.
2000. In, really?
Nope.
Neither of those two guys will play for the Patriots this year. You're on the record.
Rob Gronkowski.
Big first off-day podcast. Ryan Hannibal just kind of putting it out there.
Rob Gronkowski will not play for the New England Patriots in 2019.
Okay. Second option, Josh Gordon.
Less than a 50% chance of playing.
Oh, you already couched it, you wuss.
He Florio'd it. 40% chance.
I got one on the record.
Okay, well, Gronk is going to play for the Patriots.
No.
So why is he working out with Tom Brady?
You call that a workout? They're in the same city together, and Brady was like, let's just throw the ball around.
Did they or did they not throw the football?
They threw the
football
around
together. Could they have not met
for yoga? We could have gone outside before this.
Sandwiches?
We could have gone outside to the lovely.
Anything?
We could have gone outside and wore
a
home.
No, but we did what normal people did. We sat down, had two beers and a pizza.
Yes.
Tom Brady and Gronk could have sat down and have whatever it is Brady eats. It probably wouldn't be two beers and pizza.
I'm DDing, just so everyone knows.
And avocado and whatever.
But they're not normal people.
Yeah, see, they worked out for a reason.
What's the reason?
Just kind of keeping the old fire going a little bit.
I think that's what Gronk wants.
Oh, he loves the attention.
Exactly.
No doubt in my mind he loves the attention.
Right.
You know what else he's going to love?
What?
When in October, Brady calls and says, puts out the bat signal, shines it up in the sky, and says, listen, I need you. Come on down.
Is Gronk going to be ready?
Why not?
Look at do you see the pictures of him?
He was born ready.
He's lost, like, 30 pounds already.
Does he still have his hands?
Yeah, but they don't need a receiver.
That's all
they need tight ends.
He's going to be a receiver. He'll be a split-out tight end.
Oh, so we got another prediction.
He'll be a red zone target. He will catch touchdowns.
Another off-day exclusive right away.
Yeah,
Rob Gronkowski will be a wide receiver.
More of a move tight end than a traditional inline blocker that he's been over the years.
So what's your percentage that Rob Gronkowski comes back?
69.
Love it.
No, I actually think it's higher than that now. I would put it up in the 80s.
80%.
I think the one way he doesn't come back is if the Patriots stink. If they just flat out come out of the gates at 2-5 for some strange reason, I don't think he wants to be seen as the savior. If they are 2-2 through September, then go on a 3-game winning streak, 5-2 in that range somewhere, I think Rob Gronkowski answers the phone. I think Rob Gronkowski loves the attention. I think he forgets about ankles and backs and Achilles and whatever it may be. And I think he strolls on in. And speaking of strolling on in,
yes,
tight ends strolling
speaking
on
of,
in.
Speaking of tight ends.
Guys that think they're legends of the Super Bowl.
Well, I am. I am. If you don't know, now you know, like Biggie said.
I got to tell you, I thought there was a shot you wouldn't show.
Why? I said I was going to come.
Man of his word.
Man of his word.
Jermaine Wiggins, man of his word.
Have you never seen Scarface?
I have.
You know?
I have.
Never seen Scarface, huh? No?
Nope.
A movie?
You've never seen Scarface?
Never
I'm
seen
not
Scarface.
A movie guy.
Why?
There's two things I don't break. That's my balls and my word.
It's right.
He is a man of his word.
Yep.
So welcome. Have you been here before?
Yeah. No, this is the first time. Yeah.
What are your
cool
thoughts
place,
of this
huh?
place?
The pizza smells delicious.
We had that before.
Buffalo chicken pizza, legit.
Okay.
Very
okay.
good pizza.
I'm a mushroom and onion guy.
I don't know if that was an
option. Was an option, but
okay.
you could
but
find
buffalo
something.
Buffalo chicken pizza sounds good.
And it has celery on it, which at first I was like, not so sure.
Right.
It works.
Okay.
Gives it a little texture, I think they would
all right.
call it.
Buffalo it chicken. My kids love buffalo chicken pizza.
Well, you can get one for the road.
Here. Yeah, they love it, so.
Well, we were talking about tight ends and caught us at a good time. What are your thoughts on Gronk? Is he coming back this year? Andy has it over 69%.
Well, I had it at 95%. And then we did the interview with
and
Mike Florio.
Florio yelled at you.
And he yelled at me. He goes, that's a kiss of death. He goes, you're probably better off going 94% or 96%. So now I'm going to 96%.
How about the other guy? We were also debating because we were talking about Edelman being out to start camp. You know, it's been spun by a lot of people as a good thing, an opportunity for other guys to get reps. Brady will be forced to throw to them to build a rapport.
I can understand that a little bit.
And I think that's true. Ryan's a little more negative.
Right.
Yeah. He thinks Brady's going to get frustrated and sulk and start thinking about his contract and no weapons.
Wouldn't you?
Well, no, you know what? That's really not how Tom is, right? Right. When we've seen Tom throughout his career, like, we don't really see him sulking and doing
I've
that.
I've seen it.
Where, on the field?
Training camp. He got pissed at Josh McDaniels like this,
well, but
this May.
I think there's a difference between getting pissed at maybe what's going on there and letting the other players around you know what's going on, right? Because you don't want guys on that are going to be potentially guys that are going to be playing
On
the team with you thinking like, oh, my God. My quarterback thinks I'm a Scribini,
right?
Because, you know, he threw the ball and I miss it. I turn around, I see him yelling at Josh, and I swear he goes, "What the hell is this bum doing here?" You know.
And there's also a difference between reacting to a singular play,
right,
a drop or something,
right,
or then stringing it together,
right,
and sort of it lingers. Now
right,
he's moping.
You could tell a guy's. You know the number one thing that coaches always talk about and. You know, you always watch out there for players is body language, right?
Right.
How's a guy's body language? You know, you'll hear that body language, body language, body language. And if you're a guy like Brady, you know how important that is because everybody's watching you, the rest of your teammates. You know, if they see you sulking and they see you got a bad attitude, now it bleeds off on other people. So, I could see Tom not having Julian. I don't want to say it's a good thing because really, you know, you want him out there.
You want your whole team out
right,
there.
Right, you want your whole team out there, but I think they have enough of a rapport and relationship. We saw
right.
it last year
yeah.
with Julian missing the first four games, and it does make Tom now have to say, okay, you know, when we're doing the 7-on-7s or we're doing on the team pass 11-on-11 in these drills, I got to maybe go somewhere else because Julian's not
right.
here.
That was Andy's point, which I can see.
Right.
Find out if Dontrell Inman can play
right.
or Maurice Harris
but,
or one of these
but let's
guys.
Let's just say you have all these Dontrell Inmans, Braxton Berrios dropping passes left and right, and you can't get anything done. Isn't Brady going to get pissed
well,
at
I
that
think,
point?
I think what Brady then goes, okay, I'll be glad when Julian gets
right.
back. And
right.
I know, and then in his mind, it's probably like, all right, I'm going to phase him out a little bit, but I ultimately know when Julian comes back, here's where I'm going to go, and maybe I build a relationship because not everybody's going to drop passes.
Right.
Somebody got to
right.
catch the
Somebody,
damn football.
We saw Maurice Harris looked pretty good in minicamp.
Right.
Maybe he's the guy that takes
advantage.
And then
advantage. Now he builds, and
right.
so Tom says, all right, I'm going to go to him a little
Typical
bit more.
Typical negativity
than,
in Boston. He thinks everybody's going to drop everything.
Well,
we're literally
going
to go out there, and Brady's going to go like 0
right.
for 40 passing.
Right, nobody can catch. I
right.
mean, I guess they get to the NFL and
right.
they forget
how
to catch.
How the hell they get to camp?
Right.
They're
and
nervous.
It's football players.
They're catching passes from Tom Brady. They get nervous.
So the next step in that, because I think Gronk will be back at some time.
Yeah.
Will Josh Gordon be a factor in the passing game this year?
See, that is like, you know, that's like the million-dollar question.
It is.
That
nobody knows the answer to.
Nobody knows the answer to. And then when you start to look at Roger Goodell and some of his
decision-making
on discipline,
yep.
you sit there and you go, Tyreek Hill doesn't get a game suspension. Then you have Jared Reed who gets 6-game suspension. You might not know. He might go, you know what, depending on how he's feeling that day, he might go, you know what, I kind of feel bad for Josh. He's been through a lot. I sat down with him. He told me he's remorseful. He's never going to do it again, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to give him any games. Or he might go, I'm going to give him 4, 6, 8 games.
Right.
It's just so, like, I almost feel like it's so hard, like, because when a guy gets, like, they've been through the program, they've been suspended over and over and over, other guys are watching that in the league. So he has to realize, well, if I'm a little bit lenient on him, what's that mean for the next guy?
But I do think two things. I don't know this to be true, but a lot of reports have said Goodell seems to have a soft spot for
right.
Josh Gordon. He
right.
likes him. And Tom Brady is continuing that relationship
right.
this offseason.
Right.
So maybe that's just Tom
they
being
must
a good
know
guy.
Something.
But it feels
or
like.
Or is that just Tom being a nice guy, knowing what Gordon's gone through, and, you know, maybe Gordon reached out.
Right. I mean, I understand. But I feel like they would know something right there. They've had a bunch of meetings. Not Brady, but Josh, his
right.
agent, and Goodell. Right.
Right.
And Goodell going, here's what we're thinking about doing. Here's what we're thinking about doing. So he's got to have some type of knowledge. Josh Gordon is, you know, is there a good chance I might not get suspended? You know what I mean? There's got to be something there. So with that thing there, I mean, to me, that's a roll of the dice.
And as I said with Gronk, when he and Brady met on the West Coast, they could have had an avocado salad together.
Right.
They didn't have to throw footballs.
Right.
And when Josh Gordon hangs out with Brady, they don't have to be throwing footballs in the backyard.
Right.
I find it interesting that they fall back into the old routine of throwing footballs.
Especially if you're retired, like you're Gronkowski, and I'm air quotes, and you're retired. Like, why do you need to go there and catch? Hey, Tom, call me when you're done throwing footballs, and me and you will go have an avocado ice cream.
Where there's smoke, there's often a little spark which turns into a fire, baby.
So you really looked into them working out together at UCLA?
Yeah, because here's the thing, right?
They were just both in town at the same day, and they
can link up afterwards, right? Why do you, if you're Rob Gronkowski and you don't want to be out there and you're, you know, your body set, why would you want to go out there
because,
and run routes?
Because you want to keep this narrative going that you're going to come back. You want to be in the spotlight. You want to be in the tension.
Okay, so if you know that to be true, right, you want to keep this narrative going, then that tells me once the season starts and maybe they're not doing as well, the narrative's going to be getting louder and louder and louder.
That's great for him, though. He loves the attention.
Right, but he's only going to get that attention if he comes back, right? If they get to week 6 or 7 and he's not coming back, or week 8.
But he'll just continue the narrative till like week 12.
Yeah, but what does he get out of that?
The attention.
But what is the benefit of the attention of people talking about him coming
back?
Well,
but he just likes it. That's right. I can see that. There are people that just get a little juice off the buzz. Oh, people
are
talking
about me. I think the juice with him is being Gronk, right? So if people are just talking about him in the media, he's not really responding to that, right? What is he going to now do? Well, no one's going to really be able to get him doing press conferences because he's going to be retired.
But it helps his Q rating.
But I think he likes the fact of the attention, but he loves the way for him to capitalize is being out there, you know, and saying, all right, week 7, week 8, I feel pretty good. I want to come back.
Okay,
I got one for him, though.
Oh, okay.
So when you retired,
yep.
What was your?
Well, he didn't close the door.
Yeah, yeah.
He said he might call and say, "Bill, I'm ready if you need me."
That door is still open. I haven't shut the door. I've been fighting to hold it open for it seems like forever.
That first September, when you stopped playing and you watched games, what were you feeling?
I want to be playing.
So like, what is Gronk going to be feeling come September?
But you like, see, I think Gronk's.
Are you thinking your back of your head like the leading up to the game sucks, but Sundays are great?
You're going to be like, oh, I miss that. I miss playing. I miss being out there. I miss being in front of the crowd, being with the team, having that camaraderie, making those plays. That's what you miss more than anything. Now, Gronk is in it, and especially when you know and you go, man, look at all these tight ends around the league. I can go out there and I still be one of the top 3 tight ends in the league and still know that you can play. It's one thing when you're my age and me and I haven't played in, you know, forever, and you're like, man, I want to be out there. And then you go to practice and you're like, ooh, I wouldn't make it through. I wouldn't even make it through warm-ups. Forget about a game. I wouldn't even make it through individuals.
You can't pass a conditioning test tomorrow?
No.
Did you ever pass it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Every time?
How many
every
times?
Time.
Did 100%? Everybody always pass it?
No, I remember. I'll tell you a story.
Yeah.
Love stories.
This is why we brought Wiggy in.
Right. So I was with the Jets, and Parcells was coaching, and Belichick was on the staff. This was 99, I want to say. And so this is a story. We talk about Bobby Hamilton, myself, Otis Smith, and I forget the guy's name, but he was like a second-round draft pick. And, he, Parcells, he had been around or whatever, like maybe second year or third year in the league. He had an injury and really wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing in the offseason. So we do the conditioning test. And the conditioning test for Parcells was 300-yard shuttles at 50 yards a whack.
Yep.
Where Belichick, I think it's, 20 40s or 50s or 60s?
Yep.
Something easy, right? If you can't pass that, you haven't been doing nothing. So we're doing the conditioning test, and so, you know, the running back, skill position, wide receivers, corners, they go first. I think you got it like 54 seconds. Tight ends, linebackers is like maybe 56 seconds. And O-line, D-line, he was a lineman. D-lineman is like maybe a minute. So he goes down, you know, so think about it, it's 50 yards. So down and back is one.
Yep. Yep.
So you got to do 3 of them, right? Yep. So he goes down, so he's running it. And, like, the coach is calling out the time, you know, 31, 32, and then he gets to 56, 57, you know, and you got to make your time. You got to cross that line before the time. And I'll never forget, he was, like, 10 yards away, and all of a sudden you see him just jump, like, you know, like he's diving for the line. Like, you know, we saw the sprinter do that video of a sprinter in college. He dives to the line. But he's a big lineman, so when he hits the ground, he, like, goes nowhere, like, face plant, just like a 747 crashing. Feet come up to the back of his head, and he's, like, 4 yards away from the finish line where he has to cross. And Parcells just looks at him and goes, get him out of here. You're done. Clean out your locker. See you later.
Wow.
He cut him right there on the spot. I'll never forget it. It just like it was in slow motion. And you're like, is he going to make it? And he's like 4 yards short from the finish line. It was the craziest thing. But, you know, I've seen plenty of guys not pass their conditioning test.
Okay, so.
This is why we brought him stories.
Oh, good stories.
Yeah. That's one of many. There's a ton of stories.
So a little story has sort of popped up the last day or so. I think we all presumed Tom Brady was going to get a contract extension.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden I'm reading Tom Carr and I listen to him on OMF in the afternoon. And he's like, pump the brakes a little bit. They're talking, but it's not just sort of playing out as easy as we might have thought it would. And he actually brought up the idea that Brady wants an extension. Robert Kraft probably wants to give him an extension.
Right.
But maybe Bill in the football side is a little hesitant to give the 42-year-old passer an extension. Are you surprised that we're talking about this?
I'm not really surprised, but I would kind of question that, right? Because if Bill was a hesitant to give him the extension, he would have that contingency plan already put in place, right? But what is
fair
his
point?
What's his contingency
Jared
plan?
Jared Stidham.
Jared Stidham better get good and better get fast.
Right, but let's be honest. He was what was he drafted, Jared Stidham?
Third round.
Third round, right? So
Fourth round.
So he's not really like that guy that you could say, all right, he's going to be ready to go next year or even the year after that.
Right. Brady was a sixth-round pick. Year two, he was winning the Super Bowl, baby.
Right, and I understand that, but I think the thing about that, nobody expected that.
No.
That was like, you know, it's not like, all right, we knew this was going to happen.
Nope.
So I think if Belichick really felt that way, he would have maybe had a plan set in place to say, all right, because Brady's contract's up at the end of the year.
Correct.
So that means then he's thinking about, all right, we already got our guy for next year.
Well, Jimmy Garoppolo can leave San Francisco.
Yeah, I know. I heard you talking about that on Dale and Keith about
and
it'd only be a couple
49ers
million to get out of him.
Have until April 1st to exercise their option for Garoppolo for next year, so there's a time period there.
Right, but the problem with Garoppolo is
until
Bill actually sees him play.
He saw plenty of him, though.
For 16 weeks.
He
saw him
get squished.
The problem is we haven't seen him do it for the longevity. We haven't seen him get through a full season.
He's only played, five games?
No, he played six in San Francisco and a game and a half.
Six at once.
Right. Six is the longest streak.
Right, that we've seen.
See, the problem is, if Belichick sees that streak, that means he probably played pretty well for the 49ers this year, and they're probably going to want him to stay as their quarterback.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing. If he plays well for the 49ers this year, they're not going to walk away. They have their franchise guy.
I don't care how Nick Mullins looks.
Right. So, to me, I think it'll get done. I think the biggest thing that we're thinking around here is when. You know, everybody thought it was, all right, training camp's going to start, and all of a sudden, here's Tom Brady got a new deal. But we know how Bill, and we kind of know he's like, all right, they're probably dragging his feet.
As a player, how would you feel going into a walk year? Is that something that players look at?
If you're Tom Brady, I think you feel pretty good all the time.
Right.
No, but
you always have the hammer.
I think if we all know that Tom Brady wants to continue playing.
Right.
So he's probably like, and like most players, if you know that you want to still continue to play, and you know that for the most part the team wants you there, now it's just about, you know, getting through all the minutiae and let's get it done. Where are we, like, you know, what are we complaining about here? What are we complaining about? Is it $5 million? Is it $1 million? Like, let's try to, you know, dot all the I's and cross the T's, get it done. So now we know moving forward that, hey, for the next, you know, 2 years or whatever it is for the extension, we're good to go. I don't have to think about
it. What would you ask for if you were Tom Brady right now?
If I was Tom Brady, I would say, because I think he's going to play for another 3 years, I would see a 3-year extension coming down the pipeline.
For how much?
Somewhere around
100.
75 million.
Oh, come on. No.
Oh, you want fully? You want Kirk Cousins fully guaranteed?
Yeah, because you could still say, all right,
Cousins got 84, right?
Right, he got 84. Around. You say,
I want more than that, then.
Well, you, but how
Kirk
much
Cousins
is,
can't hold my
but
job?
But how much is that going to hamstring them? Or
right,
you're still going to.
Well, wait a minute. That's a flaw with the whole theory. Because if it hamstrings them, maybe I won't have good receivers and tight ends. I already don't have good receivers
right.
and tight ends.
Well, that's the one negative I've talked about.
What if you go with an opt-out after two to piece both sides?
I would say 3 years, $100 million fully guaranteed.
No opt-out after year two?
Yeah, I mean that.
I'm Tom frickin' Brady.
Right, but that's like if you're being greedy.
Right.
Right?
Which you could,
but that's greedy. $33 million a year for Tom Brady?
What's the franchise number as a quarterback.
It's
that's
like 32.
Yeah,
but not that it's.
And his is going to be higher because his number is 27 and a buck 25 over that is 34.
But Andy, not that you're being greedy. It's just like with Tom, like I don't think he's like really gonna. You know, we've seen him before, not really like quabble over the money. So for him, if he knows 3 years and 75 gets it done versus 3 years and 100 million, it's going to be a back and forth. Tom is like the type of guy that goes, listen, I'm still making good money. I got my guarantees for, you know, the three-year extension. I'm good to go. Bill's like, all right, you know, it's not really what we want to spend, but we're willing to spend it because of who he is, and I think you get it done. Maybe if it's $100 million, Bill's like, you know, do we really want to extend ourselves, that kind of thing. So that's why I said three and at 75, you know, somewhere between 60 and $75 million guaranteed.
All right.
We got anything else for him? I think the fans.
Well, I could ask him a million questions, but he's going to go sign autographs.
You're going to sign autographs, meet with the
people.
Can
you hear him there screaming, Wiggy? Yeah.
It's pretty loud in there. I think I had to be ushered through.
Yeah,
like
security.
We had security and everything.
Yeah, but everybody's
door,
nice.
Maybe,
yeah.
Out the back door.
Well, there's a bunch of nice cars outside, so.
This is Bradfoe's spot. He's the one that hooked us up with
yes.
us.
Yeah, he's always talking about Lord Hobo. He's
boom
like,
sauce.
Yeah,
boom
he's
sauce.
Always talking about make sure I grab a drink. So I'm not really an IPA guy. Maybe if I find one, maybe I become an IPA.
They got ciders.
Guy.
I saw they got some kind of cider.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You got to turn me into one of those guys.
Yeah. All right. Try something.
Yeah.
All right, Wig. Thanks for stopping
by. Not a problem.
We appreciate it.
Well, Bradfoe basically said that now I got to be like a weekly contributor.
Oh,
nice.
Well, that's what he said. But I said, well, listen, they don't pay me enough to do that. Like I said, when we get a deal done, maybe we'll talk about that.
He's like Brady, hard
bargain.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
All right,
thanks, guys.
Thanks.
See you, Wig. Okay.
All right.
Now we can get back to our training camp preview.
Yeah.
Where were we?
Lost track.
So
maybe we should plug Lord Hobo one more time, huh?
See, how come he's offering him a beer? He didn't offer me a beer. See how that works? You play in the NFL,
our
and the owner offers you a damn beer.
A beer.
We sat here for 2 hours by ourselves.
I was here the whole time. I paid a lot of money for
pizza. I was asked
if
you two wanted a beer, and I said you didn't because you had told me you didn't. So.
Still, I'm surprised he came, honestly.
I'm a little surprised he came, but, you know, he was honest at the end there. He's looking for a job and a contract. That's why he's here. Once he gets the contract, he will not be responding to those texts. Wig, can you come to the podcast?
Nah, kind of busy.
No, it'll say read 2 minutes ago, and you'll never get a response ever.
I can see that. Where did we leave off?
I don't know. I want to get to something better.
What do you want to get to, Andy?
We're going
to
finish up with some of these other things in a little bit. Our producer did a nice job, by the way.
He did. John did a great job.
Ranking the roster 1-90,
yep.
Which you didn't like. We'll get into that in a minute. He had your 15 most important Patriots.
Which you didn't seem to like.
I'll get to that
in a
minute.
Can you guys explain to me the difference between, so Ryan did most important Patriots. Andy did ranking the Patriots. Yeah, just ranking them.
Well,
yeah.
Mine
what's
is,
the difference between the
skill,
both of
skill, talent based.
Okay. Yeah, mine's value.
Right.
Like they can't afford to lose this person.
You can be important and not all that good.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Which I think I can make an argument for a lot of my guys.
Yeah. So we'll get into that. But. It is a training camp preview.
This is a training camp preview.
This show is a training camp. Right. I think it says it. Oh, no. It says in the pockets a big boom sauce. I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah. Well, because Rob Bradford basically coerced us into having them as a sponsor, which,
well,
we're,
like
very, which we're very,
very appreciative.
I like beer. I like
However,
pizza.
You know, whatever their political leanings are, we now have to convey on social media.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
Okay, whatever.
But that's fine.
That's
as
your
I
job.
Said, I didn't partake in the boom sauce. I think that's a little heavy for me. It was like 8%
this is
alcohol.
My second boom sauce tonight.
Well,
you're.
So who's taking this guy home? The Lush.
I know.
Bradfoe has an Uber
he's
waiting outside
going down the Fitzy Road over here. He'll be slurring in 5 minutes.
Fordway.
So what are the storylines of camp? Because I'm going to be posting a story on WEEI.com.
Tomorrow.
So I know what mine are.
Wednesday.
You don't say tomorrow
Wednesday
in the podcast
morning.
Universe because
Wednesday morning.
You never know when people are listening to this. This has to be timeless.
It's Wednesday morning.
Don't say tomorrow.
Wednesday morning.
So what? Give me your top storyline to watch in training camp when they hit the field Thursday.
I am watching the pass catchers. Who's catching passes from Tom Brady and how do they look?
Ding, 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 ding.
We don't have any sound effects here at the live podcast, so I'm adding my own.
Go ahead.
Was that a ding?
That was a ding, ding.
We do have post-production for this. I can always
correct
do that
answer.
After.
Can you add a ding, ding when you get back? Take a memo.
Yeah, we'll do it there.
Actually, I would
we're
also
only going to use your ding, ding from now on.
I like that better. I would also say the coaches' transition, how these new coaches are doing with their new players.
Now, are you more concerned about the...
I didn't say it was a concern. I said I'm watching.
Oh, geez, you're such a wuss. Say it's a concern.
It's not a concern.
The entire defense other than Steve Belichick.
Yep.
Or the unique situation that is...
Joe Judge.
Joe Judge, I guess, slash Troy Brown as sort of a helper.
Assistant guy.
Yeah. Are you more... Because the position we just talked about for, I don't know, 15 minutes to open the podcast, the
it's
wide receiver.
It's kind of pretty important.
Yeah, and now you have some
new guys
transition uncertainty there in the leadership.
I'm looking there because on defense, everybody knows it's Bill Belichick's defense, and you also have to look at who's at all those positions. There's not really much new players coming in for the most part.
Michael Bennett.
Especially
you lose Trey Flowers, you bring in Michael Bennett. Pretty much everybody else.
Mike Pinnell. But like the leaders.
He's an upgrade probably over Malcolm Brown.
Correct, but the leaders, the Stephon Gilmores, the Dante Hightowers, Kyle Van Noy, they're all back.
Right.
So they know what they're doing. They know
even
what
more
do.
Than that. Daron Harmon, McCourty,
Patrick
Chung, Lawrence Guy is you know, he's just a guy, I guess. But
even Jamie Collins has been here before.
They all know what they're doing.
Correct. Whereas receiver, the
be
only
funny
guy,
if Gerard Mayo sends in a sign and Collins or like they look at him like that's the call for this situation. I'll take this one. You take this one off, Gerard.
I could see that.
So I agree with you on that. I'm going five deep.
Five deep.
Five deep. So I agree with you on the pass catchers. I agree with you on the defensive coaching. I also think we need to keep an eye on, and this is more of not only in camp but into the early part of the season, is the defense ready to be what people think it's going to be? They allowed 3 points in the Super Bowl.
Three points against a pretty good Rams team.
Yeah, very good offense. I don't know if you've heard Sean McVay was the next big thing offensively.
I've heard that a few times.
And I believe they were sixth in points allowed in the regular season last year, seventh, somewhere, top 10
seventh,
points allowed.
I think, yes.
Are they ready to be counted on and maybe carry more than 50% of the load? No longer say Brady will handle everything.
You got to win at some games.
This is the highest expectations the defense has had since, what, 14? Since the Revis-led
and Browner,
group,
probably
that year.
I would say so.
So are they ready? Or there's also a question, the flip side, little dirty secret.
They're kind of old in some places on defense.
Yes.
Devin McCourty, Patrick Chung, Dante Hightower, to name a few.
But you could also use that as the other side to it where they know what to do. They've been there before. They know what they know everything. They've been there how many Super Bowls?
It's a fine line between experience and old.
So you're saying
Mike Vrabel told me that
injury
once.
Injury concerns?
No. Just getting slow and old.
We saw that last year.
I thought Dante Hightower sort of monitored himself or
he did
a little bit through the regular season. And then postseason, he looked pretty good.
I've also noticed he's looked a little slim this spring.
You're really fixating on this weight stuff. Gronk is skinny. Hightower's skinny.
Let's not fat shame the players.
Right.
The first, podcast. Jeez.
You haven't noticed that, though? Looks more like a
I don't know. I suck
down.
At that.
He definitely looks thinner.
I also remember people like you for years writing, Vince Wilfork lost weight this offseason and redistributed it. Hell he did.
That should have been the mic check,
actually.
I
don't think I ever wrote that or said that.
I just want to let you know, John, I can't hear a word you say.
So
John keeps
Andy
talking
are,
on the other
are,
side
we,
of the table.
We are 3 feet from each other and cannot hear
it's
anything.
Loud in here.
It's loud. It's packed.
My producer didn't give me a headset, so I can't hear you.
There's one place to plug in. Rob Bradford. Blame Bradford for everything.
Okay, another issue.
Yep. Issue. Or is this your five storylines?
How many have I gone over
four,
so far?
Or three. We got the three.
Three.
We got two more.
Two more. I know one of them is Tom Brady because you just have to make sure Tom Brady's still Tom Brady.
That's always going to be a question until
he was
retired.
Last I saw him in June, but I need to make sure in August and September he's still Tom Brady.
Yep.
Right?
That's always going to be there until he retires. That's fair.
And last but not least, we go back to the offense, we go back to the passing game, and we go back to the left tackle position.
I was going to say that as well.
Where, in my opinion, Dante Scarnecchia and the faith everyone has in him causes everybody to sort of dismiss that. He seems to have faith in Wynn. He seems to think Wynn is a developmental tackle. Wynn isn't on PUP to start camp, which is good.
That's very good.
But can he play?
We saw glimpses last summer.
Barely. Trent Brown took that job by the throat and ran with it.
But it wasn't like we saw him perform and we were like, this guy stinks.
No.
So there's potential there. We know that, right?
Yeah. Sorry, I was watching Wiggy hanging out with the fellas, drinking beers. He's really having a good time over there. If I knew he was going to stay, I would have made him stay on the podcast longer.
Yeah, I know. I thought we were doing a solid. Just let him go.
Yeah, I thought he could go home and, you know, hang with the
family. You guys demanded that he only stay on for a certain amount of time.
Told you. I can't hear. Oh, well, he's hanging with the owner still.
You can't depend. You can't depend on him.
That's what we told you. We are in the pockets of Big Boom Sauce.
Yes.
I like it.
Wiggy is negotiating sponsorships for us as we speak.
So you're
for himself, not for us.
Truth.
There'll be a Wiggy podcast.
That'll be in
here.
His contract.
We'll be out.
So you're convinced or feel good about Isaiah Wynn?
I trust Dante Scarnecchia. I would fall in line with that. If he thinks he's good enough, his track record is pretty good. A, with the long-term guys, Matt Light, Nate Solder, short-term guy like Trent Brown, even the other guys like Tom Ashworth and that he turned into good enough. So I trust his ability to get him ready.
Now, that leads me into your 53-man roster projection with one of the issues that I had with yours.
I had an issue with you putting it together.
What was the issue there?
On NFI. You didn't put that on there.
Well, at offensive line, who's your backup tackle?
I don't know. Cole Crosston?
You're confident with that?
Joe Tooney?
But then you're looking at moving some pieces around.
Well, sometimes you have to do that. It's not always ideal. Who's your backup tackle? A guy with one quad?
Yes. Yanni Kajust. They didn't use it. What selection?
Do you know what NFI means?
Non-football injury list.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's what he's on right now.
Correct.
Had surgery on a quad.
Yep.
Feels like it could be a redshirt year for him.
So
at the very least, he could start the year on NFI.
All right.
Six games.
But my thing is that you don't...
what do you want? Cedric Lang? I didn't even read yours.
No.
That's how little I thought of it.
I don't want Cole Crosston. Cole Crosston.
So who's your backup? A guy on one leg?
Yanni Kajust.
He's hurt.
He's hurt now. There's plenty of other guys. Sony Michel,
so
you have on your
with
roster.
A rookie who's not going to practice.
He's not as my starter. He's a backup.
Still needs to know what he's doing. You know what a backup is?
What's
one
a backup?
One play away from being a starter, my friend.
And
it's
Cole,
National Football
and
League. Stands for not for long, son.
Cole Crosston's that guy?
Cole Crosston's a serviceable backup.
I don't know why I had an issue with that. I think that was before I actually saw your list.
I don't know why you had an issue with it either.
Minor issue.
Okay, let's get into... are we rushing this now? I don't know what your timetable is.
No, we're good.
No,
we
got plenty of time.
I can tell you guys what some of your differences were. The only other two you had besides, or the only three you had besides what you've already
spoken
about.
Yeah, I was quite frankly rather disappointed
yes.
that we agreed so, on so
take
much.
Take us behind the scenes on how this actually
well,
came
we
up.
We actually did this separately. We wanted to make sure they were legitimately our own and we didn't look at each other's. Ryan did his. I did mine. I sent it to Ryan. He put it together. And I was disappointed that they were very, very,
very,
similar.
Very.
You guys had four differences in
so
total.
Out of 53 players.
Only four.
That's terrible.
We've been spending too much time together.
Probably. You're my new Paul Perillo.
Yes.
So you guys already spoke about Cole Crosston and Yanni Kajust. The
right,
other two you had.
Which is interesting because I mocked him for a guy on NFI. Cole Crosston's on PUP, which is essentially the same thing. He can't practice right now. He didn't pass his physical.
And the only other two you had, and we're actually going to title this the Ryan Izzo versus Andrew Beck podcast.
What the hell do you know about Andrew Beck?
What the heck do you know about Ryan Izzo?
Word is they like him.
Word is they like Andrew Beck. They gave him the most money out of any undrafted free agent.
I talk to people.
Oh, you do?
No, they do like Izzo. From what I understand, they like Izzo. They like the work ethic. They think he can not only block, but maybe be a little bit more than that. I've heard good things inside the building.
I've heard some good things about Andrew Beck. Look
he
at
hasn't
them.
Done anything. How could you have heard good things?
Look at the money they gave him.
Yeah, you can't always follow
an
the money.
An undrafted rookie always
you know who they
makes
liked for a while? Coney Ealy.
Great.
How long did that last? Like a week before they hated him?
They always keep an undrafted rookie. Andrew
so
Beck.
So you think it's Beck?
Yeah. You didn't even have
why
one.
Why couldn't it be Jakobi Meyers, the wide receiver?
Why didn't you have him?
Because it's a little early to make that projection, but he would be my pick if you're going to pick an undrafted rookie.
That's great.
Okay?
All right.
As I tweeted today, one of these was right and one of them was wrong.
Looks like mine was right.
Negative Dale Arnold said they're probably both wrong.
That's true. What else was the difference?
So the other differences
no,
you
we
had,
got two more.
Two more differences. And then I know you're looking at my list right now. You both had Jake Bailey beating out Ryan Allen for the punter position. But as far as differences.
He's got a stronger leg. He stronger can handle
leg,
kickoffs.
Better contract.
Upside, drafted.
Yeah, you guys actually wrote the same exact paragraph. You can tell. It's weird.
I just had Ryan write it.
It's weird that you did it apart, and it was like word for word the same thing.
Great minds.
Thing alike, yep.
So at cornerback, Andy, you actually had 5 total. Ryan, you had 6 total. The difference there comes in the offensive line for the 53-man roster projection. Ryan, you had Jonathan Jones making the roster. Andy did not.
I traded him.
And then the rest, you had the
same 5
people.
I didn't see that.
I traded him.
How?
I called another team and traded him.
For what? What are you getting for Jonathan Jones?
Something I needed.
What do you need?
Potentially a tight end.
You think Jonathan Jones is going to get a tight end in return?
Solid veteran cornerback.
So then why isn't he good enough to keep on your team?
Because I have 2 second-round picks that I don't know what to do with.
Who's your other second-round pick besides Duke Dawson?
Juwan Williams.
Fair. Forgot about him. Forgot about him.
Second pick of the second round.
So, you know, I do think the wild card is Duke Dawson being on a list or being traded or...
There's always something with Belichick that he can't get himself to give up on a player taking that high so early.
He's never done it.
Which is why I had him on the roster.
He's never done a second-round pick in the second year being cut. I don't think it starts now. Maybe he's the one who's traded. The only thing I would say is Jonathan Jones playing on that 3.095, whatever the tender is, that's a little pricey for a non-top-three corner.
But
he's not going to be a top-three corner.
But you can use him in certain situations like we saw against the Chiefs.
I guess solid against the Chiefs?
No, but he's a guy.
$3 million for one game? That seems like terrible investment.
It's not one game. It's against a certain type of receiver. You can use him in different ways.
Duke Dawson and
he's
Juwan
a core
Williams.
Special teams guy.
What's wrong with those guys?
Who?
Duke Dawson and Juwan Williams.
What do you know about Duke Dawson? He never was on the field last year.
He was competitive last year in training camp.
What do you training?
Jump down my throat. That's my job.
Training camp, not in the games. Jonathan Jones shut down Tyreek Hill in the AFC Championship game.
Okay. Is that even true? I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. I cannot verify that from
you. Don't remember that package
they
had?
I call Pro Football Focus to get an answer on
this? No, they had the double team on Tyreek Hill. They rotated guys. Jonathan Jones was part of that.
Wait a minute. You just said he shut him down, and then you said they had the double team.
No, they rotated guys on Tyreek Hill.
Okay, that
Jonathan Jones
that.
Was part of that rotation.
Right. He had no help?
I think he had a little bit of safety
shade
in that
too.
Area.
Okay. This is getting less impressive by the word.
Still, solid guy. Solid guy
he's
to have
hate
around.
Doing podcasts with me. He's going to quit by week 3.
I was actually told you and I have a mutual friend, Andy. We haven't discussed
what?
This. But I was told, you and I have a mutual friend. We have not discussed this. But I was told that you are the biggest ball buster in the world.
I can be a big ball
he
buster.
He is. I've known that. I knew what I was getting myself into.
Just wait till I get even more comfortable. By week 5, okay. You'll be in tears. Puddle of goo.
And the only other difference you guys had on your initial 53-man projections were, Andy, you had Obi Melifonwu making the final roster, and Ryan, you had Terrence Brooks, who I believe came over from the Jets,
yep.
Making the final roster.
Why Obi?
You wouldn't know this. You're too young. But Bill Belichick has lusted after a tweener safety linebacker hybrid physical specimen guy for years.
Okay. I also know what he loves. Special teams guy.
Right, and he's got a boatload of them.
Terrence Brooks was the best special teamer in the NFL last year.
Pro Football Focus said he played more special teams.
Yes, they did.
Get off Pro Football Focus and watch a football game for once.
I looked at the numbers. Terrence
I know,
Brooks,
don't look at the numbers. Look at the field.
Okay, but we both didn't
have... I in the sky, don't lie.
We both didn't have Nate Ebner on the roster.
It's because he's expensive.
Okay, who's replacing Nate Ebner? Terrence Brooks or Obi Melifonwu?
Obi can play special teams.
Not as well as Terrence Brooks and Nate Ebner did.
Deion Crossan can play special teams. I don't think
Ken
I had
Webster,
him on my roster.
7th-round pick, former
no
captain.
No shot.
Yeah, you brought Brandon Bolden back for $2 million. He's certainly not back to be a runner.
And where does Obi fit in your plans with already 3 safeties?
Where they tried to sample him last year. As
and how'd that work
box,
out?
Not great.
Right.
Admittedly.
It's right.
Never worked out great when he's tried to do this, going back decades to like Tank Williams and... anybody else they've tried to use in the role.
I would also argue that they gave Terrence Brooks a good amount of money as well.
I don't know if that's true or not.
That is true.
I thought it was like 1 point something million.
No.
I actually believe that Ryan knows every contract by heart.
Yep.
I'm not sure he does. He's been wrong a lot already.
Yep. You have a good amount of money. I think in the $2 million range.
I don't think they did.
I think they did.
We'll look it up after the podcast.
After.
We should have a fact check.
Next podcast.
Like a post-podcast, and then you come back to start the show.
I would do it live on the podcast, but internet.
But we don't have time for that. Okay, so we did our roster projection. Unfortunately, very similar. Not a lot of...
And
I think some of it will be... Like, there's tight end, like if they add a tight end, everything gets thrown.
Same thing with wide receiver. They bring in a wide receiver.
Or an injury. There's a good chance multiple players that we have on here
are going to get
it. Interesting, by the way. Neither of us had a Keyonte Davis.
I've never been a Keyonte Davis fan.
I know, but Bill has been.
Well, I think
Bill was madly in love with him last summer.
He realized
he may have fallen out of love. It may have been one of those summer romances.
In the middle of last year, that he's not very good.
Okay, that's what I did. That's why he's not on mine. I eliminated him from possibilities. But he looks the part. He's what I like to call a bus player. He's one of the first guys you want getting off the bus because he looks good, big, athletic, fast. And I also wanted to talk about another guy we both have on there.
Yep.
For really no reason.
Who's that?
Derek Rivers.
Well, funny you say that, because I had a little voice in my head when I was putting this together, something that you said in one of our earlier podcasts. You made a bold prediction. Derek Rivers was going to have 6 to 8 sacks.
Yep, I did. I actually had a dream about that, too.
You did?
Yeah.
6 to 8 sacks.
Yeah. So that's kind of, and I always come
back
to.
Why don't you think for yourself and not take my information?
But I always come back to whenever Belichick's asked about Derek Rivers. It's
absolutely
always,
gushes.
Right. Hard-working guy, first guy in, last guy out.
What was the quote where he caught himself? He's got a great career in front of him,
yes.
And he's got a great career now, or something.
Something like that.
And it's like he caught himself, but... He thinks highly of Derek
for
Rivers.
For a guy that has done much in the league, he talks a lot about him.
I will say, I can see the reason why. Anybody you talk to, he's, you know, first guy in, last man out, hard worker, does the right thing, head down. He's big into the Bible and faith, and there's really no reason to dislike him other than the fact that he's never done a damn thing on the football
field.
He's
only played, 7, 8 games?
Right. He's just
one sack.
Non-factor.
But they always say you make your biggest jump from year one to year two. This is technically Rivers' year one to year two jump.
Ish.
Then play his rookie year.
1.5 to 2.5, maybe.
But maybe this is the year he breaks out.
I think that's why
we both had that.
I'm glad I could sway you. He's going to be a 6 to 8 sack guy. Breakout player of the year for the defense.
Possibility. Not saying it's going to happen, but it's possible.
Okay, so we went over that. Now I would like to go over something else, and this is obviously cross-promotion, so we would urge anyone listening to go actually read these stories and give us some clicks on WEEI.com.
Much appreciated.
Also, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes.
Subscribe, iTunes, the off-day podcast.
And attend the Lord Hobo Brewery as well.
Yes.
Yes, come on over to Lord Hobo. I think you will be surprised when you pull up the street and then come in the door to find how many people are in here having a great time in what sort of looks like a warehouse.
And you might be here 48 hours from now. Jermaine Wiggins will still be here signing autographs.
Yes,
he's still hanging out,
he's
rubbing
still
elbows
somewhere,
kissing babies and doing whatever ex-NFL players do when their career ends.
I saw one baby walk by. It was lipstick on his forehead.
What?
I don't know. Wiggy was wearing lipstick. I don't know why.
That wouldn't surprise me. So
what are you going to yell at me next about?
No. You wanted to yell at me for ranking my roster 1 to 90.
Yeah, I got a few.
Proceed.
I got a few complaints here. You had Michael Bennett ranked number 5 on your roster.
Yep.
Why?
Because he's a damn good football player. Versatile, can play inside, can play out.
Can he?
Has had in, oh yeah.
With the Patriots?
Yes.
When's the last time he's been asked?
In sub situations, he will line up over the guard at times. I will book it right now.
Will he be successful?
We can. Yes. He will have 2 sacks from lining up over the guard. Okay.
I just can't see that with him.
And
he's not used to the Patriots system. He's always used to the run up the field, get after the quarterback.
Watch and learn.
And I don't know how he's going to adjust.
He will adjust just fine, like he adjusted from going to Seattle to Philly.
I just don't understand how you have him ranked number 5.
Okay, give me somebody who should be ranked ahead of him.
No, but you just have Dietrich Wise, who is a pretty similar player, ranked 16th.
Similar player?
Yeah.
Dietrich Wise can't hold Michael Bennett's jock.
Similar.
Similar how? They both play defensive end. That's where the similarities end.
Correct.
And by the way, Dietrich Wise, where's he?
What do you mean, where is he? He's
PUP.
He's on PUP, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Did you know that when you did this ranking? No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, I knew he was going to be.
Oh.
Last time I saw him, he was on one of those Ty Law wheel-around carts with his leg.
I forgot. He used to work there. I know.
But Michael Bennett, you are doing a great disservice to. I think there's a chance.
I didn't even have him in my top 15.
He's every bit as good or better than Trey Flowers. I think there's a chance of that happening
this year. That's a very,
very bold prediction. If he doesn't get old overnight. I think you are ignorant to Michael Bennett's skills.
I just don't think that he fits the system.
He's the best Bennett to ever play for the Patriots.
I can get behind that, but you just don't know what he's going to be in this system. Look at this system.
Will he have 8 sacks?
No.
He will.
Will not.
He's had 8 sacks.
Write that down, John, please.
I believe he had 8.5 and 10 two of the last 3 years.
Look at the system he played in.
I see the system.
Those systems.
Oh, are you one of those guys where you're not allowed to have sacks as a Patriot?
Yes.
That's one of those.
They're asked to do different things.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's
going
to react to do that.
And he's got those little shoulder pads so no one can grab him and block him.
All right. Enough with him.
Okay. Who else you got? Because that was a weak argument.
No, I think I actually...
Who else you got?
I've got a great one.
The jury's still out on that. Yep.
You put the long snapper at number 28.
He does his job well.
Okay.
Is he better than... I mean, Ryan.
Give me somebody below him.
Look at the names underneath. John Simon, one of the most underrated players in the league, in my opinion.
In the league?
In the league?
In the AFC East.
Wow. We made a huge...
South of Boston.
If you had said one of the more underrated players on the Patriots defense,
I could get behind.
I might have helped you out
but
there.
But the league?
But you went a little strong.
All right. Who else does he have behind Joe Cardona?
Every tight end on the roster.
Yeah, that was another thing. Ben Watson. You had him at, what does he have Ben Watson at?
32.
How?
How no?
He's replacing Rob Gronkowski.
Yes.
And you only have Matt LaCoste one place ahead of Watson as well.
So are you of the mind that the Patriots are just going to get rid of the tight end and not even think that they're around?
No. I think they'll actually get more statistical production out of the position, spread around a number of guys.
So why is your number one tight end number 32 in your list?
None of them are very good. But they're still going to catch passes.
So you did this in terms of like...
ability. Ranking their ability 1 to 90. Skill-wise.
All right.
Joe Cardona does his job better than Ben Watson. He's better at his job right now.
Yeah, but then you got to get into the whole argument. What's more important to the team, long snapper or tight end?
I didn't rank it based on importance. That's your stupid list.
All right. Well, I can make
yours
argument.
Was the most important Patriots.
Realistically, Matthew Slater below Joe Cardona. If we're gonna go by special teams,
I thought Matthew Slater fell off last year. Finished strong, was phenomenal.
Is this Pro Football Focus or did you watch?
This is Andy's head.
What did he have, Matthew Slater? 35?
Yeah.
He's one of the best special teamers in the league.
He's gotten old. Harsh reality.
I think
you're
proving your argument wrong here, where you have Joe Cardona as one of the best long snappers in the league.
No, I didn't say that.
What did you say?
Give us your long snapper rankings.
Joe Cardona
right now
does his job better than everybody below 28.
Yeah, but Brandon King has one of the greatest Super Bowl photos of all time.
All right, relax.
And you've got him at 39.
Settle down over there.
You also have Dante Hightower at 10.
Okay.
Now, I know my list was most important, but I think he's higher than 10.
Well, I don't know which one I'm getting, because if I get regular season, he'd be much lower than 10. If I get postseason, he might be higher than 10.
Yeah.
So I average him out, he gets 10.
All right. So we just talked about this little off the show.
Do you remember when we were – it was a pre – no, no, no. It was early season. The kid out of Detroit, the running back. Kieran Johnson.
Yep.
Carry on.
You remember when Dante Hightower was running right with him at the line of scrimmage and was like, oh, I got this. I don't have this anymore. He ran right by me.
Yeah.
That's the Dante Hightower that worries me.
Okay. That's not the Dante Hightower that's in this Patriots system anymore. He's not being asked to cover running backs.
This was a running play. Kieran Johnson was running with the
He's not going to be asked
to tackle ball carriers. Then he should hang him up and call it a career and come get a Lord Hobo beer with Wiggy. Because that's his job as a linebacker, to tackle the guy with the football.
He can come down here on...
At whatever point Bill Belichick stops asking linebackers to tackle the man with the football is the point where Robert Kraft needs to say, Bill, you had a good run.
His job isn't to chase... You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying.
Yes, you do.
I befuddled
you. You're just busting my balls.
How long did it take me?
His job is to meet the ball carrier in the
hole.
Yeah,
he's not chasing guys, you know. He's not.
No, he shouldn't have been. He had the positioning right up until he didn't.
I can't remember the play.
Go back and watch the tape.
I'll go back and look at the all 22 and break it down. That's my homework this week.
Yeah, you Pro Football Focus stooge.
He's mad at me.
What are the other
he's
ones?
Had enough.
He's got?
Well, I think the most notable.
Out, throw the towel.
I'd say the most notable thing right here is this line I've got here is the 53 man cutoff. So you've got Jake Bailey ahead of it, Ryan Allen below. We need to have a punter conversation.
That's fair.
However, you've got all three quarterbacks not named Brady below that, which means somebody above that 53 line needs to go. Right above that, you've got Brandon Bolden, Keon Crossan, and Yanni.
I would get rid of Brandon Bolden in a heartbeat. Problem is, they gave him $2 million. They're not getting rid of Brandon Bolden.
Yes.
There would not be a spot for Brandon Bolden on my National Football League team.
Braxton Berrios, Duke Dawson, they're all on your 53.
Yeah, I like them. I think they have upside.
You like them?
I like Braxton Berrios. I think he has a chance.
With what they have now, he has a chance.
If he can rein in his attitude, because I think his confidence is ahead of his ability. It's writing checks that his body can't sign.
We saw that either OTAs or minicamp. He caught a diving catch for a touchdown, got up, spiked the football. got a little talking to by the coaches.
Yep.
Then did the same thing probably a couple plays later and just handed the ball off to one of the coaches.
And you know what that is? That's learning.
Yeah, so that's a positive.
That's a positive thing.
Another thing, I guess, let's just transition out of the rankings.
You know, you're done with my list? After yeah. I shot down every argument you tried
I
to make?
I think we're running on a time crunch here. We want to get to everything
yeah,
we have.
We are approaching 1 hour.
Podcast. There's no limit. We go till we want
to
stop.
We want to get to everything.
What if people really like this? Maybe they're listening. They're like, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep going.
If they made it past the
that
Andrew Beck versus Ryan Izzo conversation, then we've got a crowd.
Well, see, what we're going to do here, and I'd like this to be a shining example, is we can disperse like bottom of the roster, bare bones football with high level topics, with humor, right? We got to mix it all
right,
up.
Right, right, right.
Never know what you're going to get.
Right.
We're going to talk about fullback, James Devlin.
We haven't
gone
to
birthday,
that.
Happy birthday, by the way, James.
I was surprised it took you
Although,
over an hour to mention that.
In the podcast world, yesterday was your birthday because we're posting this tomorrow, but it's already today.
Happy birthday, James Devlin.
Yes. Pro Bowler.
Happy birthday to Pro Bowler James Devlin.
Number 11
that
best
patriot. That means
something
for fullbacks, too. Doesn't mean anything for quarterbacks anymore. Definitely means something for fullbacks.
Damn right.
So,
okay, what do you want to transition to?
A little more training camp stuff.
Okay.
Who's returning kicks?
That's a great question. I have no idea.
Me
Braxton
neither.
Berrios.
That is a true storyline to watch in camp
I think
in the preseason.
We should, that's one we missed.
Like an open, but it's a
minute
yeah,
thing. Yeah.
But it's a good one to keep track of. For example, we'll give a little preview. We are going to – I used to do blog observations in my former
– You will not be doing that for us because you're leaving me alone for the first 4 days of training camp.
Well, yeah, but
– Yeah,
you
yeah.
vacation again?
No, I'm
no.
doing radio
okay.
every day, every freaking day.
Because you got hired and then you were on vacation for 2 months.
But we're bringing sort of that minutia style of monitoring a lot of things and blogging about it and recapping and bringing the reader everything we see. You'll be doing it many of the first few days of camp.
Yes.
And that's one area I think we should really note is – Kick return. Who's out there? What's he doing? Did he catch it? Did he bobble it? Does he breed confidence? Do the coaches extra whatever. Whatever goes on in that area. Because they have some veteran options at both jobs.
Who do you got, though?
Right now?
Yeah.
No flipping idea.
No. Who's competing for this job?
Everybody who can run fast.
Every receiver?
I would be if I were Bill Belichick, there would be probably before we get out there some like truly open tryouts of skill players, and I'm saying Phil Dorsett, get your ass back
I
there.
I mean, we've seen
it.
Guys like from Devin McCourty to Patrick Chung.
Right. Well,
it.
We have those. We know those are fallbacks. I would not be in favor of that. Your 32-year-old safeties
yeah, no.
do not
I'm
need
just,
to be
I'm just
getting
saying
hit.
That what he's done in the past.
Right. I would be having younger open tryouts.
Braxton Berrios,
Philip Dorsett, any of these young guys. I don't know if Jacoby Myers can do it. Keon Crosston, a raw, fast athlete. Any of these DBs, these wide receivers, Sony Michel would probably be a candidate, but I don't think
he'd probably
want to.
Break his leg after.
Right.
Like,
so I don't think I'd go down that road, but I would be having open tryouts.
The reason I brought this up because I think this could be sort of the inside track for some of these bubble players to
yes.
potentially get onto the roster.
Yes.
Like a Braxton Berrios.
Or a Keon Crosston.
A Keon Crosston.
Who was drafted because he ran a fast 40 time. That's really it. And he's truly fast.
He's a good locker room guy from everything we know.
Right. But now can he develop into a backup corner, a kick returner, something that is making him more than just an average coverage guy, an average core kicking game guy?
What about punts? Who returns punts?
Julian Edelman.
You still see, I'm of the mind where...
When the game is on the line, Julian Edelman.
I get that, but...
Do we have a cough button? No.
But
we
definitely don't.
But in weeks,
I hit myself in the head like 30 seconds ago, and that's going to have to be dealt with.
In weeks 1 through 8, it's still Julian Edelman?
No, I'd rather have somebody else, but who? Braxton Berrios?
Maybe.
What if he doesn't make the team?
Then you find someone else. Look who was returning
punts. I don't want Patrick Chung doing
it. Look who was returning punts in week one last year. Riley McCarron.
He's not on the team.
Correct.
So he can't do it.
Right. My point is they want to find somebody else besides Julian Edelman.
I agree. But worst case scenario... Julian Edelman.
I guess.
Although he's got a bad thumb, so he can't do it right now either.
Right. So really open competition.
I really think both jobs are open competitions. I look forward to it.
Sign Poppy White. Get him back there.
Yeah, I heard he returned punts back wherever he played. Where did he play?
Marshall, I think.
Know.
I want to say Marshall, but don't hold me to it.
All right.
But
I
Travin,
don't think
Travin
his first
Durrell.
Name is really Pappy either.
Me neither. So to wrap this up,
My former boss used to do things like that, too, when he wrapped up podcasts.
So, all right, that's going to do it.
Perillo.
No, so just to preview the next couple of days, Andy will be on Dale and Keith.
Every day.
Every day. And then
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thursday and Friday live from Gillette Stadium up on the ramps
high above
watching
us.
Practice. High above
you'll
the
get, you'll get You'll get the all-22 view of the field.
The all-22 angle.
Live interviews with Joe Cardona every day.
I think he's going to – well,
third
knowing
in.
Andy, he'll request James Devlin.
Right, and he's my boy. He'll do it. We may have some live interviews, I think, during Dale and Keith during Thursday, Friday. We may effort to get that
effort
from the
in.
Practice field. And you will be blogging furiously.
I'll be doing everything, trying to make up for your lack of production.
Wednesday, or today in the podcast world, Bill Belichick will be holding his annual pre-training camp press conference, which, correct me if I'm wrong, he's not going to talk about Brady's contract.
Nope.
He's not going to talk about Gronk coming back.
Nope.
So there's not
he's
really
also
a lot
doesn't
to talk
about anything on the field because they're not in pads yet.
Right.
And they haven't done anything really.
Right. So there's not real, like, if you remember the year of Aaron Hernandez, that was a huge thing to sort of talk about it and close
it
the door
the
before camp. We don't really have any of those issues that
I think
he's going to address.
Well, there is one thing he hasn't addressed.
Oh.
Nick Caserio. He hasn't been asked about that directly.
Still in the role he's always been, and we expect to get the best contributions out of him.
But that will be one of the themes tomorrow, Wednesday.
Thanks, Andy.
That will be one of the themes on Wednesday.
Okay. So Nick Caserio.
Nick Caserio. I would say just the overall replacing Gronk.
So, Bill, do you still have the same fire you usually have this time of year? How was Barbados?
That probably will come up, knowing how things generally go down there.
What are you going to ask? Nothing.
I like to sit back and observe at these things.
More of an observer than a questioner.
Yeah.
Every week we need to have an audience poll for the podcast in which we select Ryan's question for him.
Oh, I like that.
And then you need to grow some stones, and you need to ask Bill Belichick.
I kind of like that.
I actually do like that. Now, we mean like relatively serious, right?
Yeah.
Not like...
Yeah.
Not something that's going to get him in trouble or get his credential taken away.
I agree with that.
Yeah, we can't have that.
Until late in the year.
Also,
maybe.
Are we doing questions for the next episode?
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Why not?
We have an email address,
email
Twitter
address?
Account.
We
why don't
do.
You give those out,
yeah,
producer boy?
Yeah, let's read those out.
Yeah, get these out, John.
You have to read them. That concerns me.
Let's see how many. Well, I could have done it without him, but okay. I had this sign facing the audience here.
No one in the audience cares. One person has looked at us.
Well, we'll find
that's
out.
False.
No, we had a few. Wiggy directed them after we do the audit. So Twitter, @offdaypod.
Please subscribe.
Please subscribe.
We are in a race with the hockey losers.
No, not subscribe. Please follow.
Oh, yeah, follow. I didn't mean subscribe.
By the way, Matt Kalman, I spoke to him today while Ken Laird was in a meeting before they were taping the skate pod. Ripped you, Andy.
I don't care.
Ripped you.
I'm not even sure.
He doesn't care.
I'm not sure I know who he is. There was a guy I talked to in the bathroom that may or may not have been him yesterday.
He paid his own way to game 6 of the Stanley Cup final.
Why?
Because Entercom wouldn't pay for it.
There's a backstory behind that.
St. Louis.
Okay. Anyway, just
I'm doing
follow,
a bit. I don't know if that's true. But
follow Off Day Podcast.
@OffDayPod on Twitter.
We need the followers. Around here, they think followers matter.
Right.
Please follow.
And Instagram, @OffDayPodcast, whereas
so
Twitter is
So what do you put
on
Instagram? Photos from this?
This training
Instagram,
camp.
I do some stuff from now and then is the way I would describe it.
So Twitter is more important. Follow the Twitter account.
Twitter is more important.
Off Day Pod.
Off Day Pod, yep. Facebook, facebook.com/OffDayPodcast.
Does anybody do Facebook anymore?
And we have a Gmail. It is called offdaythepodcast@gmail.com. Do not send it to offdaypod@gmail.com, as that is a different podcast.
So stop
by
saying
the same
it then.
Name.
Yeah. You're just reinforcing the incorrect.
I looked into it. They have not recorded a podcast in 3
off
years.
Offdaythepodcast?
Offdaythepodcast@gmail.com.
Send your questions. We want this to be interactive. I know some people believe you shouldn't, you know, listen to text lines and emails and all of that. I am the opposite. I think you should tweet us. You should send us emails.
This
we
is a
will
show
answer.
For the fans.
Right. When you listen
by
and something pops up in your head, email us or contact us on Twitter, and we will address it in the following episode of the podcast.
Which we're looking forward to probably Monday or Tuesday next week after the weekend wraps up.
Yeah, we'll try to wrap it up maybe after Rodney has his induction into the Patriots Hall of Fame. They have their in-stadium practice. Then they have Tuesday off. Maybe we'll recap the first few days of training camp.
Sounds good to me. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks to Lord Hobo.
Yes, thanks.
Thanks, Lord Hobo.
Thanks
Lord
for
the Hobo. Free bird.
Boom sauce.
Boom sauce.